should live it. If we stop and I was just thinking this wasn't in my notes, but we had two trumpet players playing. And when Ezekiel plays the trumpet, he has practiced well, and I enjoy hearing good, special music. But when you put two trumpet players together, doesn't it sound that much nicer? And as we live the Christian life, we are trying to have a relationship with God. But when we come along another Christian, doesn't it make it that much better? We have a men's fellowship to have people come alongside and just enjoy one another. Because, to be honest, the world is wicked, and living the Christian life can get wearisome because you have so many little battles and big battles, right? And I think God wants Christianity to be like an orchestra, right? Each of us has a part, and we play our part, and it makes beautiful music. And that wasn't in my notes, but I was thinking that that would be a good illustration of kind of what I'd like to try to say. So we're going to read Colossians chapter 1, and I kind of picked verses out. We don't want to read the whole chapter. I want to stay on course. It's New Year's Eve. I want you to enjoy your family. And I have a lot to say that God has given me. So I just want to read verses 1 through 4. Then we'll jump down to 9, 10, and verse 17. So if you would read that with me. Colossians chapter 1. I am in my last verse. Pardon me while I turn there. Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about new things. And Colossians chapter 1. I could start quoting it. I said Colossians chapter 1. I wrote, I'm not having a good day. That should be Colossians chapter 3, verses 1. All right. So if you got there, you're only two pages off. All right, here we go. 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then we're going to jump down to verse 9 and 10. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. There's a new thing. Which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Then we jump down to verse 17, kind of a concluding verse there. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Tonight, I'm a very big New Year's guy. I like New Year's resolutions. I like a clean page. I like to think forward and say, what am I going to do different or better this year? And I want to challenge you in that way. That as we talked about 2023 being a wonderful year, we had that verse up here that talked about grow in grace. And even though I can look at some things that I'm kind of frustrated about in my own life and in my family's life, I had to stop and go, you know what? Last year, problems, and they're not as bad this year. There's some things that used to be like, we were battling this, and it's gone. And you know what that is? That's just growing. That's what it is. And so as we stay faithful, we're going to grow. And God's going to help us with that. And being in church is going to help us with that. So let's pray. Ask God to just give you what you need. I honestly don't know what you need. But God does, and he wants to feed our souls. Let's ask him to do that. Dear God, thank you for the truths in your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we have freedom. God, we can stand up here and preach the word. We can go out and tell someone about it and bring them into church. God, even though our country is going downhill, you're still alive and well and working in people's lives, and you have great things that you want to do. Help us, God, to be open to whatever it is that you want to touch our lives about, touch our hearts about, and please guide me to be the right kind of messenger for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started out with new things. If I can point your attention to verse number one, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So that phrase is talking about saved people. And if we talk about that, we can have point number one there, which is our new life. Now, before me are some people that have recently been saved, and there's a lot of people that have been saved for a long time. And you're like, my new life has kind of been new for a long time. I guess I would call it old, but we're not talking about new as in starting today. We're talking about versus the old man, right? So pastor has given his testimony many times about how at 11 years old, he was basically not sure and was about to be an atheist. And, you know, is there a God? And God changed his life. He went from the old man to the new man. When I was a young person, I had good parents. And so even though I wasn't saved, I was acting like a good Christian because I better, right? There were some things that you just didn't do because mom and dad said so. But at some point, I got saved. And I remember at age 16, my mom was going through some health issues. And I don't remember all of the events in order. But basically, I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? It don't matter what my parents do. If they're sick and they stay home, I live four blocks from church. I'm going every service, every service. It was mine. It became mine. And then, boy, the world opened up in Christianity for me. I had questions like, hey, we always do this. Why do we do this? And it wasn't a bad attitude. It was like, I wanted to know for myself. You know, they keep saying, the Bible is our authority. And I would read it and I wouldn't understand it. So I'd go to ask someone, hey, this says this. We don't. What's the background here? And boy, you start doing that and the Bible starts to become extremely interesting and more applicable. Or it's not just something that you do on Sunday because Sundays are for church. So it was my new life. When we look at this verse, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, we're talking about those that are saved. So who is he saying? Christians, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So as a Christian, what are we supposed to do? Seek heavenly things. Now I ask myself those questions. I like to chew on things for a while, like what does that mean? If you didn't have any maturity in your Christianity, you might go, oh, time to sell everything and move to Mount Bora and just seek after God's face because he said seek heavenly things. And if I go to work and have a car and have a 401k, isn't that earthly things? Right? And of course, that's not what it's saying. You know why I go to work? I like to eat. I like my kids to eat. I like my kids to eat good. I want my kids to go to school. You know, God told us as men that we should provide for our own. So guess what I'm doing when I go to work? I'm obeying God, and it is a heavenly thing. Now, I can turn that on its head and say, I am going to work overtime because I want a new gun, boat, car, etc. And I mean, if you have to, I understand because it does say take care of your own. But you know what I'm saying? It is that what are we seeking after? So it's clarified by the next verse. If you look at the next verse, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I tried to look up the word set in the Greek, and it's not in there. Because actually, set your affection is one Greek word, because the Greek language is syntaxed a different way. So you have the subject and the verb and the mood and all that in it. And basically, that word, set your affection, means to direct one's mind to a thing and to strive for. So, when we're talking about our affection, what I desire, right? I heard someone, this is about money. It kind of illustrates this. They said, it isn't that if you have money, but does your money have you? Right? So if your money has you, then you have your affection in the wrong place. We can all be doing the same thing, and 50% can be doing the right thing, and 50% could be doing the wrong thing, even though we're all doing the same thing, and it all comes down to, where's my affection? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And so as a Christian, we're looking at our new life, right? If you're saved, you have a new life in Christ. In order to strive for it, there must be some practical things, right? It isn't just my attitude. Today, we had a verse. This will clarify this point. Today, we had a verse, Joshua 24:14, that said, only fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. My wife and I were talking today about just some past instances, and there was truth, but there wasn't sincerity in a particular instance. In other words, they were teaching truth, but in an unsincere way. It was a proud way, right? You can say the right thing and be wrong, right? If pastor, you gotta, if you're new and you hear pastor preaching like he preached this morning, You just got to give it a minute, okay? That's the Idaho term. Give it a minute. It means more than 60 seconds, right? Get to know him, right? We're not here to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, but he loves God's word, and he loves us. Now, everybody shows love different, amen, right? Some people, there's a tough love, and that's just who they are. They don't come out smooth, but at their heart, that's just their rough character. I have a guy, one of my customers I deliver to, and first couple times, he was kind of gruff with me, and I'm like, man, what a jerk, you know? I'm just delivering freight. But then I saw that was like his way. Like, he wasn't really mad at me. That's just his personality. He likes to pretend to be that way. So one day, I thought I would try it out. I figured if it doesn't work, you know, it'll be another week before I come back. I'll probably get away with it. So one day he goes, man, why are you bringing me all this freight? I said, actually, you didn't have anything, but I went and found something just delivered to you to make your day miserable. And you know what? He laughed. And I'm like, okay. So this guy's just a gruff kind of a guy, but really he's not. Underneath, he's probably a nice guy. And even since then, every once in a while, he'll do that little salty type of a thing, and we kind of joke around. But just some people, the way they portray love doesn't come out the same. There are some people that they sound really lovely, but they're sneaky snake oil salesman, right? They're just sounding smooth, but really they don't care about you, right? And so love sometimes doesn't come out. But the Bible tells us to preach the word and to be instant in season and out of season. And like Pastor illustrated in Sunday school, I don't want him to pull any punches. I mean, he's gonna say it because he's following God, right? He wants to do it. He wants to be honored by. And you know what? Look around, right? If you've been here for a year, you can see that God blesses obedience to him. Amen. And God will take care of it. And you know, I have friends. I've had some people that I've become friendly to, and they're no longer here. And I'm kind of like, man, I wish they wouldn't be so cross-eyed about the way they're looking at things. They can't see it straight. You know, I even tried to talk to one of them one time, and they were already bent. There was something in their past or something. They just would not listen to reason, and they wouldn't give it a chance. And but you know what? When it comes to loving, we're in a church where we're going to set our affection on things above, and God's going to tell us what to do. And I'm very thankful for that. We were talking about setting your affection and being sincere. You know, we're not perfect, right? And I'm the guy in the pew, okay? I'm called to preach, and I'm not on the staff or anything. But I'm the guy in the pew, and here at Mountain Valley, I believe that our affection is, God, you just give us what we need. And we're gonna take this day by day, because our affection is on the word of God and what God wants to do as our God. So we have the attitude, only fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, right? So that's our attitude. But then if you notice, right after that in our verse, it's an action. What are you supposed to do? Put away the gods. Nathan's like, God, we don't have no Buddha statue. We don't have no God. We must be doing pretty good. But idols aren't just made of wood. God talks about it in covetousness, which is idolatry, right? We have that in verse 5 there. So there's some things that we need to put away, right? I've been saved and have a family, and I'm going through my Christian life, and I'm still at a spot where, you know what? I gotta put some things away. And Pastor has said that don't make it about him. All right, so let me back up. My notes are there, but I'm trying to put them in the right order here. Let me back up. My Christianity is verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Christ is our life. What is that new life? It isn't Mountain Valley Baptist Church. It isn't what Pastor says. I don't live my life so that Pastor doesn't ever have to get on to me. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts are not our life. Doctrine is important. But it is not my church, right? If I can say this respectfully without you misunderstanding, the church is not my reason for living. The ministry is for the people, not the people for the ministry. And I'm not saying to be all selfish and say, well, what can I get out of this? Right? It's actually kind of an oxymoron because you come actually to serve. You're actually giving yourself and you get something back, right? But church is not my life. It is Christ who is my life. Watch this. I will always have my family with me. Okay, right. If someone takes off when they get old enough, I understand that. But I will always have my family with me. If I get to a point where this church doesn't meet my spiritual needs, and I'm not talking about being trite, like, oh, I don't like the way you pastor. I'm talking about a genuine, if you're walking with God, God's going to go see that. And there's a whole bunch of things that happened before that. I am not worried about that, just to be honest with you. But if I ever did get there, right? My relationship was with Christ, and this church can no longer be a part of it if it ever gets there. If it would ever do that, it's a long way away from where I'm sitting, okay? Not trying to give you a door to gossip. But I'm pointing out that Christ is my life. My day by day. It may be that God calls one of you to do something else and you end up at another church. Well, Christ is still your life no matter where you go with your family. So if you're living your life and your church is your life, then guess what? When you go somewhere else, you're going to be lost. Because the church is basically telling you what to do. And you're going to get some things right because you reap what you sow when it comes to truth. It's a very mature and satisfying thing for Christ to guide you in your life. It's not just pastor saying, this is what we're going to do. Right? And if you listen to him, he doesn't say that, does he? He says, the Bible says what to do. Right? And if you don't understand it, pause. Time out. I was in Wisconsin, and I had someone come to me and say that women should wear a head covering. I'm not worried here. It's not an issue in this area. And I didn't know what to do. You know why? Because the Bible does talk about it. I just didn't know what it said. And I wrangled with that, and I saw the spirit of people that made it say that. And I'm like, I just don't see a holiness there. And then there was someone that came in that had a wonderful Christian spirit that believed that. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm going to do what I was taught. What were we taught? The Bible's our guide. God will guide us in the truth. You know what? I guess if God says it, I want to do it. So I studied it. And my wife's not wearing one, so you know what I found out. The Bible is very clear. It says her hair is given to her for a covering. You don't need a cloth. And I think that some people want the externals. It makes them feel, and maybe they're just ignorant too. Like, I think there's sincere people that do that. That at the end of the day, God honors their faith no matter where it is, as long as it's in truth. Okay? And I think that they're sincere people. But I had to get to the point where, like, you know what? The fact that I'm a Baptist and that we haven't done that is not my guide. The Bible's my guide. So let the Bible tell me what to do. So I studied it and said, you know what? Yeah, we were on track. That's not what the Bible's saying. I'm not better than them. Okay? I'm not trying to belittle people that get there. The illustration is that I had to come to say, you know what? If it is in there, I need to be doing it. Maybe I'm just wrong. Right? We talk about the putting on of humility, the humble mind, humbleness of mind in verse 10. Verse 12. But Christ is my life. So recently, who preached devotions? I believe it was Brother Jacob, Pastor Christian. He was preaching about, we'll watch a two-hour movie, but we'll only give God 10 minutes. And I was kind of like, that's a good point. And then I began to think, but I give my workplace 10 hours, but I don't give God 10 hours. And so then my mind, the wheels are spinning, right? Like, where does this fit? And then I realized, the illustration is, don't say you don't have time when you can watch a two-hour movie. Because you can give God more time if you can watch a two-hour movie. This is not the two-hour movie problem. It's our priorities. Is Christ our life or isn't he? Or is he just part of the day? Now, for you that are just starting, I mean, 10 minutes a day for you is a great step, okay? Amen. It's a great step because the faithfulness in reading God's word is more important than an hour. Because to be honest, if you start out with an hour, if you're like me, you're going to fry. You're going to be like, this is too much. I don't understand all of this, right? So you take little bites, and then you grow, and then you grow. And then next year, it isn't your proverb a day and your 10 minutes a day in prayer. It's more than that because you've grown, right? So I'm not saying an hour a day is more spiritual. It's what you put into it, right? It's your affection, really. It's your affection. So we go back to the illustration, and I said, you know what? I know that when I'm at work, I'm with God, and I'm not being slick in my doctrine there. Like, there's times when I'm on the dock because I'm praying. I'm praying for that guy. He just said something, and his heart is heavy, and I've been praying for him to be saved. I understand that my testimony is very important because they can't figure us out, right? They're not used to that. You're not used to someone else being the clean guy, if I could say it that way, right? There's a testimony that's going on. When I'm driving on the road, I can pray. I love that. I love that, right? Devotion time is good. It's good to have that. I'm going to spend time with God every day. You know, just for fun. Okay, that's not the right word. Just for an experiment, try this. Just in the middle of the day, just because. Just pray to God. Pray, maybe pick your family. Pray through your family. Just extra. Not because it's prayer time, but because you just want to tell God again. Man, that's Christ who is our life. Amen? You're in the store and you see someone. I don't know how to talk to that guy. God, would you open a door? That's Christ who is our life. We're at the store, but we're not so consumed with what we're doing that God can't use us not in our devotion time. Amen? So Christ is our life, day by day. So we have our new life. Things that are above is our eternal values, setting our affection. Where is our sincerity put in our attitude? What action do we need to take? Then we come to your new life, contrasted with the old, is for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that hid is not like, where did Luke go? He is hiding, right? He does not want to be found, right? When we do that, this is not the same. It's almost the same, but it has to do with being hid as in a safe place, right? Maybe we don't use it that way anymore, right? I don't hide my gun in the safe, but in this context, I do, right? I put it in a safe place. It's secure. Where's my life? Well, it should be hid with Christ in God, but often I find that it's not. I have let my affections go somewhere else. So why are we talking about all this? Because it's the new year. We need a new start. We need to set some goals again, that our Bible reading is that important, that our time with God is that important. By the way, to correct a loose end there, I said church, which is not our life, it's Christ. If you get close to Christ, he died for the church and gave himself for it. You get close to Christ, you're going to get close to a Bible preaching church. You're going to want to be part of it, right? When we fellowship with the men and it's a godly fellowship, we don't even necessarily have to talk about spiritual things. You know, what did you read? That would be a fine conversation, and I would enjoy that. But I can also enjoy just enjoying one another's company without filthy communication, right? So, church is very important. Doctrine is very important. Do's and don'ts are very important. What pastor says is important because God gave you a church, right? So if we look at it like this, Christ is my life. That's my relationship. What tools has God given me to keep this relationship right? By the way, because this relationship is right, everyone around me is a relationship that God wants me to be a part of. So what are my tools? The Bible, prayer time, church time, that we may be fed, that we may be instructed, that we may be reproved. Hey, going the wrong way. Come get right with God. Right? It's not to belittle us or humiliate us that you are not who I am. It's the opposite. It is, God wants you to be at this level, and that's out of order. Please come deal with it. God gave us a church and the Bible and the pastor to meet our spiritual needs so that Christ can continue to be my life without sin coming in between. I am like you. I come short, right? I am not the dad I should be. I come short. If you want to know, is it better to get married at 25 or 35? I don't know. I would probably, just because I experienced it the 35 way, do it at 25. You have energy, right? Energy. Come home from a 10-hour day, you can still go. Come home from work at age 50 and you have a 5-year-old that's, well, we'll be nice. The kids are like, we don't like it when you talk about what happens at home, right? Jonathan is a six-year-old, right? And, wow, I'm glad for the wisdom that you get getting married later, but boy, the energy is not there. You just do what God wants you to do. All right, I get it. But I need to be fed. I need to be challenged. I'm glad that pastor isn't just my feed of the flock person, right? He's the under-shepherd. I'm glad that he's an overseer. Spiritually, he can see things. The other day, we just had a conversation, and we were talking, and he said something. Boom! I was like, whoa! I never even saw that. Never crossed my mind. It wasn't because I'm an ignoramus. I'm just a person, right? Just like you. And sometimes, pastors, God gave us him for that, right? So when we talk about church being, Christ being our life, God's given us these things too. So we're talking about our new life. So that's, Christians, who you are. What does God tell us to do? Put your affections in the right place. Christ is our life. So that means daily, we got to do something practically. We just got to do something practically. We need to die daily. How did my affections get out of that arena where God wants it? My old man came in. So that's number two. The new man versus the old man. When we got saved, God made us a new man. We see that in verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read it as soon as I put on my helpers. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You know what? The Bible tells us about renewing. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the inward man is renewed day by day, day by day. So guess what my obligation is if I am to have Christ be my life? To renew my inward man day by day. I must die daily. Paul said that. Paul, you're like, okay, can I use slang here? Paul, you're the man. You're like the Christian that's got it together. And if you read Paul's writings, he says just the opposite. Like, I'm supposed to do right, but it ain't in me. That's who said that. Paul said, the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said, I die daily. Same guy, same as us, right? I know God called him to do great things, but he had an old man and a new man too. One thing that has helped me in my Christian life is to understand that my old man still is with me. I think Ezekiel put it very well in his previous sermon, not the one recent, where he said, we got to fill ourselves with godly things. Sometimes we fill ourselves with good things, but there's no room for God. I think that's very well said, right? We can get busy to the point where our affection is set on other things and we wander away. Hey, guilty. Almost say I practice it, right? I end up there often. I'm not talking about every week, but you go through cycles and seasons. The new year is a good time to analyze that. I like 2024. You know what's going to happen in 24? You know what's going to happen? Oh, okay. No conspiracy, guys. No things, all right? We all know things are going to get weird. No, don't fill me in, all right? Hasn't happened yet. But, you know, just in the daily, I'm me, you're you, we were going to go for nothing. There's nothing but blank pages. Yes, I haven't messed it up yet. I don't say that lightly. It's a new chance. It's a new chance to do it right. Oh, Brother Mike, 2023, man, I fell and fell and fell. I got spiritual bruises all over my body. Amen. 2024, you didn't mess that up yet. It's a chance to have a new man be the victor in your life. God helping you, right? You're not going to do it in your own strength. We have 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee. I love this verse. Can we just say it over and over? No, I don't want to bore you, but I just, it's so applicable to anybody. Like, you don't even have to go to church here and it works for you. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. All right, so you look at, let's pick somebody solid, right? There's a guy sitting right there. His name is Dave Schwartz, right? Because we don't have a Dave Schwartz. And you look at that guy and goes, man, every time I talk to him, he has just the right words. And when you talk to him about his Bible reading, you kind of have to get it out of him because he's kind of a humble man. But he reads his Bible every day. And I know that there's at least three people in here that have come to church because of him talking to them. Man, that guy's just got it together. And boy, if I wrote down what happened to me in 2023, I'd be embarrassed and I wouldn't want to show you. Oh, but here's that verse again. God's grace is sufficient for you. It doesn't matter how incomplete you are. God's like, I got it all. Just come and see me. And by the way, when you come and use it, there's so much left over. Come back if you need more. Isn't that great? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. God's grace is sufficient for anybody. And it even says that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Right? We talk about reaping and sowing. And, you know, in my house, there's just things that aren't ever going to be there. Right? Because my dad made it that way. Not because he came to my house, but in where I grew up, man, you just never have that in your house. You never let anybody say that, right? But if you go to other people's house, they're newly saved. They're like, you can see those things and hear those things like, whoa, my dad would never let that in our house. It doesn't make me better, okay? I'm glad for it, though, because you reap what you sow. There's more peace that comes with more obedience. But at the same time, it doesn't matter. When you come to God, his grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace is much more abounding. You need God, he can be anything you need him to be to get you to that point of victory. I love that verse. I love that verse. My grace is sufficient for thee because his strength is made perfect in weakness. God loves to be strong. God loves to be praised, right? It isn't my Christianity that makes me reap and sow. It's God working in my life because I obey him. When pastor gets up to preach, God's speaking through. I'm not saying that he's doing some kind of robot that, you know, he's in a trance and God is speaking those words. But God is just like you would talk to someone about the gospel and God used you. When pastor's up here preaching, God's using him, right? Whatever it is that you need, God will give you the strength to do that. The new man is renewed. And then we read in verse 10, it says, in all saved people, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There is no, so that this is to the Colossians, but the Jews thought that they had a corner on the market with God. And Paul's like, no. It doesn't matter if you are a barbarian. Scythians, my understanding is they were very, very wicked people, right? They lived up north of the Caspian Sea there. The barbarians were barbarians, basically. And circumcision or uncircumcision is talking about the Jew and then the Gentile. But what is God saying here through Paul? Christ is all and in all. If you're saved, it isn't your background. It isn't your Christian upbringing. You are saved because of the blood of Christ. I'm studying something. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because my time, I want to keep it concise here. But the Bible says that Christ, in verse, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Christ was the creator, right? You read that whole passage. it says God is Jesus, right? You don't have to have 1 John 5:7. It says it in plenty of places in the Bible. Now, of course, 1 John 5:7 is scripture, I believe. But we have here that he is before all things, just that whole passage, okay? But I'm studying Genesis, and in the beginning, God. Whoa, pause. Wait a minute. In the beginning, God. Like, where did God come from? In the beginning, like, where is that? Oh, no, God's always been. Okay, I'll leave that there in my brain and move on. God created the heavens and the earth, and then it goes on, and then it says, God said, let there be light. Right? My mind is exploding, okay? I listened to a lecture on light. I think God made that first, just to blow your mind. If you ever study light, okay, so we know light, like, there's light. Yeah, but that's a light bulb produced by electricity. There's light. Oh, that's the sun, the flaming star, right? There's energy. God didn't make that till day four, right? The moon, oh, that's just reflective. The stars, that was made on day four. What light? God created light. He said, let there be light. And I know that God is light, but God didn't create himself on day one. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I know you're supposed to study and find out. I still don't know the answer. You can't observe it. Maybe God created the elements that make light. Maybe God created the concept of light. But then when you study light, is it a ray or a particle? Some people say, we don't know. Some people say, yes, because it is both. A pack of photons and groups going through a ray. And then when you do an experiment, the scientists are confused, right? If you shine a light, it's supposed to cast a shadow. If you shine two lights through two slits, it creates stripes. It diffuses. If you use lenses, sometimes it doesn't go through, but if you add a lens, it goes through. Light just, when you study light, it'll blow your mind. You're gone. But why I say that is Christ made it. Right? Robert Knudsen made me a cheesecake. He took elements and wonderfully put them together, and it tasted great. My sister-in-law can make pie. Another lady can take the same recipe, and it just doesn't taste the same. Same ingredients. And someone told me that it's about care, how you make your crust. All right, I don't care. It's good. It tastes good. I don't care how you do it. Just make it that way again. Right? But we take elements and assemble things together, and God takes this mind-blowing concept of light, and he just speaks it into existence. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm guessing. I think God made that first to go, I'm going to create something, and I'm going to show you who I am. Figure this out. Scientists, they're confused. They say, we figured it out. And then they do something different, like, oh, I guess we didn't figure it out. Right? I think God made light on the first day just to say, I am the greatest creator of anything. Now, I say this for a reason. Christ, who is our life. Who do you want to rule your life? I want that. I don't mean to be irreverent, but I can say, I want that guy. Christ that spoke light into existence and the world's most knowledgeable scientists can't really figure it out. Yeah, I want that guy to rule my life. But then we have a problem, don't we? That intellectually, we assent to that. But what happens? The old man lives with us. Oh, yeah, you can do that, but don't you want to have a little enjoyment? Don't you deserve it? Right? Crafty little deceitful heart of mine can make my decision to follow the creator of the universe do something that he doesn't like and that I want for the moment. That's not somebody tricking me. That's me. That's my flesh. That's my old man. What should I do? Die daily. Renew myself day by day. Stay in church. So my last point is simple. New things. We have the new life that's in Christ. We have the new man versus the old man. And lastly, we have new things. Why are we preaching this on December the 31st? Because we're supposed to put away some things. I, on purpose, did not go heavy on the lists that are here because that's a whole nother sermon. I did pick a couple just to kind of prime the pump, if you will. In verse 12 and 13, it talks about putting on some things. The humbleness of mind. The understanding that even though you have victory and successes, that I still need more of God. I still need less of me. And that's not to be discouraging to you. That's just what growing in the Christian life is, right? You don't ever get to the, oh, I'm all done, until you get to heaven and God says, I'm going to take away all that, right? So what do I need for the new year? An attitude, some new attitudes, humbleness of mind. Number two, meekness, which is the opposite of reckless pride. Hey, I got the authority, just get out of the way. No, a meekness. Number three, charity. How about some brotherly love and goodwill, right? Mr. Scrooge illustrates this oh so well. Is he wrong for making profit? Nope. But they portrayed it just right, didn't they? Because Mr. Scrooge was living for the wrong thing, just profit, and it ended up being that's all he lived for, and so he had no joy, no joy. As a Christian, it is about brotherly love and goodwill. Man, sometimes if we're all the same, right? You get to the point, oh, man, this is just too hard. And then someone else has it worse. And you're like, oh, I guess it's not that bad, right? Think about others. What can I do for brother in the room? Brotherly love, goodwill. How about the peace of God? In verse 13 or 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called. The peace of God. We get the peace of God after we get a hold of him. Sometimes in my life, I'm overwhelmed. I get to the spot where I don't know what to do. I'm praying, and I just don't get it. And then we go to God, and we say, God, I need your strength. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And then God gives it. In the middle of all that, it's not even happened yet. And God goes, that's just God. That's God and who he is. And he gives us peace. Right in the middle of that chaos. It's going to be okay. One day I was praying, and pastor was talking about the durative tense, right? I learned. Come to Sunday school, I still learn. Love it. Talked about the durative tense, that when you pray, you keep on praying. And I'm like, yes, I decided. I am, God, I'm not, and I would pray that. God, I'm here again, and I'm not letting go. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And then there would be times in the middle of the day, God, I know I already prayed about it, but I'm going to ask you again. And then I got to a point where I was praying and it wasn't happening, right? Another thing popped up in the middle of all this. And I'm like, God, I don't even know if I can read the Bible. And God can use whatever he wants. I signed up for Noom, right? I had lost 13 pounds. It works for me, and then I hit some vacation time and got derailed and quit. And so I signed up again, and I'm on it, and I didn't enter my third meal of the day or the end meal. Sometimes I don't eat three. And there was an email that said, every day can be a fresh start. And God used that to go, hey, I know it's a new problem, but it's also a new day. Isn't it great that God's promises are this? That his mercies are new every morning. That I get up and it's like, hey, it's still there. It's not a punch card that I used up. Every morning, God's mercies are new. Every morning I can come to him. Then in conjunction with that, I got to the place where I'm like, oh, I'm not being very reverent in prayer. You know what? Not only can God do it, but God's going to do it when he wants. Not because I simply asked him again. And so then it's kind of, then you're asking reverently. God, I'm going to ask again. I know you're going to answer it. I'm not going to have a bad attitude about it. I'm going to wait. Oh, not today? Okay. I'll be back tomorrow. My attitude about how I approach God in that durative tense of asking and keep on asking, right? Okay, God, I'm just going to pray. And when you, I know you're writing it down because you promise that, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm just going to wait. You have a time that you're going to answer it, and you'll answer it by and by. My attitude about that. Where did I leave off? Actions. Reading God's word. I got to go fast. If we put the Bible over here and make it 2023, The King James, and the modern, for the modern people of English, right? And then there's some other English Bibles here. And then we go back, and now we have before the New Testament. It was like written in 50 or 60 years, the New Testament. It was like 1,000 years for the Old Testament. Eventually, you get to a people that they just had God and they didn't have his word. Wow. No, I'm not going to say that, that would be a miserable time. I mean, I'm glad I'm in 2023. This is where God put me for this time. And God must have spoken to them in a real way through the prophets, etc. But you know, sometimes we look at the Bible and we forget the phenomenal book that it is. In 2023, I can open it up, and that is God speaking. That is the God that created, remember the light, and that he created the universe, and that simultaneously all of us can pray, and he hears all of our prayers at the same time, while people are crying across in China because they're being persecuted for their faith, all at the same time. And I come to God, and he hears my prayer. That God wrote a book for me. This is a real book. This is phenomenal. Why? And I'm not trying to beat you over the head, because I'm like that. I'm like reading, and it sort of loses that phenomenal flavor to it. Right? It's the Bible. Oh, yeah. I got to do that. Right? But let's remember, as we write new pages in 2024, that the Word of God is phenomenal, and it's for you. And when you read it, and you're seeking him, he's going to use it to speak to you. Right? The phenomenal book of the Bible. I have some goals just to give you a taste of maybe some things as we look at the new things of the new year. The pages that haven't been written in 2024. Right? Even though I forgot that illustration in 2023, I was still writing. Right? And I can go back and go, oh, wow, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I'm looking forward to the year in review because I was looking at pictures to send him and go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was God doing that. We can do that again. How about a Bible reading plan? Right? Get a plan and keep to the plan. To my bus kids, I challenged them. I said, you know what? Bible reading for you is going to be new and difficult. So here's what I challenge you to do. Take the proverb of the day. Today is January the 15th. So open to Proverbs 15 and just do one thing. Read 5 verses. But don't just read them and be done. Read them and see if you can't look up some words and see what they really mean. Sometimes the quantity is not as important as the quality. Right? To understand that verse for that bus kid. Wouldn't it be great if we could, like, take kids from the community that don't go to church and bring them and get them to say, like, 7 verses, memorize just, wouldn't that be phenomenal? Oh, guess what? We already do that. In Sunday school, we're bringing in kids that their parents don't come to church. And we're teaching them God's word. They're not going to hear it anywhere else. You did that. Know that? You gave your monies, you gave your time, okay? A Bible reading plan, get a Bible reading plan. Whatever it is that you need to do, right? You're not trying to be me, and I'm not trying to be you. You're just trying to take the next step to grow. A Bible reading plan. How about a Bible dictionary? What? In our list here, we have the word concupiscence. You know, when I looked that word up, when Pastor Moody in Wisconsin said, you're going to teach the verse. I'm like, okay. Ooh, concupiscence. I have no idea what that means. So I guess I'm going to look it up. And guess what? Someone came and asked, hey, we memorized that. What's concupiscence? Ah, I wrote it down. I confess I didn't know. So if you're sitting here scratching your head, it basically means the desire of forbidden things, right? But you can do that too in your devotions. Just clipping along. Ooh, don't know that word. Get a Bible dictionary. Get an 1828 dictionary. Look it up. Write it down. Now you have some more Bible knowledge. How about the ABCs study? Maybe you want to challenge yourself to do that, to add a little bit more. How about memorizing the flip chart? Let's go. Meditating on God's word, not just reading it. How about studying God's word, like I just said, and write down the meaning in the margin? I have one of these. I love these, right? This is my third one. I write things in the margin because I'll read it, and that doesn't mean I'm going to remember it, so I write it down. How about a journal? I'm not a journal person. Some of you are. How about come to Sunday school class? Favorite class in Mountain Valley Baptist Church for Mike Simmons? Sunday school class. I love Sunday school class. Even as a graduate of a Bible college, sort of. We have a Sunday school class and I'm still learning. How about some family time? I'll give you this. As Simmons is, we memorize a verse a month in a passage. So 2 years ago, we did Psalm 32. Last year, we did Psalm 34, verses 8 through whatever we ended up at, 17. So I just do 11 verses so that December, we give them a prize. Hey, if you can say all verses to me before December 31st, we'll go get an ice cream sundae, whatever, we make different prizes. But it's something that we do together. And then guess what you got? You got a verse that they already know that you can teach them and they're familiar with. It's good devotional time. How about committing to praying for a list of things, at least, right? I know that's a big prayer list. Sometimes you have to divide it up. We're done. New things. 2024 is a new time with an empty slate. Empty sheets of paper that every day you can fill and you get to choose. Now, you can't choose everything that happens to you, but you can say, this year is going to be different. I'm not going to be a great Christian, but I'm going to be faithful at the goals that I set. And then at the end of 2024, you're going to be like, okay, I got some more work to do, but that was great. I saw victory in my life. Boy, that's satisfying. It's better than a raise. The peace of God can rule in your hearts because you're going the right way. And this is a group of people that have set their affection on, let's let God tell us what to do. Let's be a part and let's let God be real in our lives. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the choosing your word. Thank you, God, for the Christians that we can fellowship and serve with. Thank you, God, for the freedom we have in this country to do something about the problems we have. But we confess that we are poor and needy and we need you. God, would you speak to hearts? Would you strengthen us? Make us better than who we are? God, we don't want to be great. We just want to grow. We want to please you. Help us, dear Lord, as a group of people to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.